Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
So, Brad, we are back from Walt Disney World. As you guys can hear, the audio quality is much improved, and our signature background music is gone.
Man, we had that for like 1 week. 1 week you give us background music, and then nothing.
And a lot of, listening back, a lot of tables and chairs clanging around.
Yeah, they did a lot. They were, so when we stopped because there were basically no... The waitress had done every table except for ours.
Yeah.
And that made a lot more noise than I thought it did in the mic. Our mics picked up really well.
Yeah. Obviously, we have a lot to talk about. So the next few episodes, we're just kind of going to each take a topic that we want to kind of discuss, and we'll alternate and just kind of talk about our trips. Because this trip, for as short as it was... I think we're a lot better than I think either of us could have anticipated. So,
oh, absolutely.
This is going to be, I think, a really cool and interesting kind of way to recap these trips. And Brad, we'll start with you. So take it away.
Okay. So first of all, we are not going to talk about everything that we did on the trip, right?
Yes. Yeah. This is not going to be a what I did on my trip, 3 hour episode, like you may have been exposed to if you've been listening to us since the beginning.
Okay. So that's exactly what I wanted to point out before somebody goes, no, and turns off their podcast for the next 5 episodes. Don't worry. We're not going to cover every last thing we did. We're just going to cover the highlights,
right.
And maybe some lowlights. I don't know. So the first thing that I have to bring up, and I have to open with this, because my father, who's listened to our podcast a handful of times and is not a regular listener, looked at me when we got done with this particular experience and went, "So you're going to record on your podcast about this, right?" So because he said that, I must discuss this on the podcast, and what I must discuss is Jingle Cruise.
And I did not ride Jingle Cruise, so I'm excited to hear what you have to say.
Yes. So for those of you who have listened in the past, you know my talk about Jingle Cruise. It's that it's a cheap overlay, it's hastily put together, and it's a waste of my time. that has been my summation of Jingle Cruise. And I was the only one of my family who had done it. They were, everybody else wanted to go do it. I was like, I would totally rather do other things. But, we were at the Christmas party, and I knew this was something they wanted to do. And I'm like, okay, let's go and do this and try to see if we can get something in after it. And we walked up, and it was a walk-on attraction at this point, which was great. Because I'm like, okay, so at least I'm not going to blow my time waiting for this stupid attraction. And we got on, and I was totally blown away. So
really?
Much better. Yes.
Huh. And
now, but okay. So here's the thing. It's the exact same cheap overlays. We're going to throw a Santa hat on this. We're going to throw some wrapping paper on that and call it Christmassy. It still doesn't to me, like as far as, the overlay goes, something like the Haunted Mansion, the holiday overlay for that, the Nightmare Before Christmas overlay, so much better than Jingle Cruise is. But what I failed to take into account for Jingle Cruise, and what you should always take into account for Jingle Cruise or Jungle Cruise, is your skipper. It's absolutely got to be your skipper, because here's the thing. I don't remember who my skipper was last time. I just remember I didn't like the attraction. I thought it was a cheap overlay, which to me means the skipper was not that great, because they did not... My skipper, I believe Alex, really just sold everything. I mean, she was totally into the entire experience. She delivered all of her lines. I mean, it's the end of the night, dude. The time when you should be phoning it in, if you're going to phone it in. And I mean, she had everybody laughing. She had people cheering. She bought into her part. And because she bought into her part, I thought it was hilarious. I thought the cheesy jokes were great. I thought that all the holiday theme stuff worked perfectly in this. And it was a total 180 from the way that I felt about Jingle Cruise before.
So was the overall attraction, though, the same as last year?
It was either the same or it was close. So the last time I went on it, it would have been at Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that differentiation as well. But again, it on the surface, it is nothing more than we're going to throw some Santa hats and wrapping paper on stuff.
Right. And I would think that across the board, people would consider Disneyland's Jungle Cruise to be better, because much like anything that requires someone to be talented at acting, basically, the pool of people they can choose from in Hollywood, you know, in the Los Angeles area, is a lot better than who they can choose from in Central Florida.
So, again, the moral of the story is good luck with your skipper.
Right.
But you know what? And that's the thing. After I wrote it, because immediately, you know, like I said, my dad was like, so you're going to have to talk about this on your podcast, right? Because you said it was going to be horrible. It was not horrible. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. And as I sat down and I started to think about it, like I said, the skipper made that experience what it was. Mm-hmm. And again, the same thing happens with the Jungle Cruise. There are times when I could very much take or leave the Jungle Cruise. There are times when I love the Jungle Cruise. And it's all based upon my skipper. So Jungle Cruise is something that you should do. And in fact, I told you, you should do it. I don't know if I would have done it, though, if I were you, because what was the wait time for you?
An hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really fun attraction if you get the right skipper, but I don't know if it's an hour and 20 minutes fun. But
yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so I was very impressed with the Jungle Cruise this year.
Good. Well, that's good. It's always a pleasant surprise, because I've had bad experience on Jungle Cruise, unfortunately, more than I've had good experiences, but it's always a pleasant surprise to get a skipper who genuinely loves their job, you know, seemingly, and cares about giving a good experience.
Right. So that's my Jungle Cruise recap. So what do you got?
So my first topic, and it was my favorite thing about this trip, or I should say one of my favorite. I had so many favorites, but the Citizens of Hollywood in Disney's Hollywood Studios. This is my favorite thing about Disney. The Citizens of Hollywood are a group, a rotating group of people who are playing citizens of 1920s Hollywood. And they do things like have trivia contests with guests. They did a stand-up comedy contest while I was there. And they come out four or five times a day for about 30 minutes and just kind of deliver this performance, this street performance. And it was, you know, genuinely magical to have these people come out, and they're brilliant improv actors. I mean, these people can think on their feet more quickly than I've ever seen. It's different every time. You know, you can see the stand-up comedy thing five times and you probably will get different actors every time. And it's just like in a theme park, you know, Walt Disney World, you think like, okay, we got to go do Tower of Terror, and then we got to go do Rock and Roller Coaster, and then Star Tours is on the other side of the park, so we got to hurry up and go do that because the line might be long. And to have something happening in the middle of the street that at first just looks like a bunch of weird park guests yelling, and then you come up and watch, and even if you've never seen it before, about 5 or 10 minutes into it, you're gonna start to understand that this is a show. It's really fun. It's really fun, it's really different, and it's a way to get people to just kind of slow down and stop and watch this thing. And Claire and I did watch two of them, and it was really fun. And in one of them, the movie contest one, the little girl who was doing the trivia won a magical fast pass.
So it's like on anything or something?
Yeah, her and her party for the whole day could fast pass anything, anytime.
Wait. What?
Yeah.
So why am I, dude? Forget this. I'm every time Hollywood Studios, boom, movie contest. Pick me.
It was
totally
pretty cool.
Totally a. How old am I now? 33. Yeah, totally a 33-year-old guy can get picked if some little girl can get picked, right? Okay. Good. I suppose this is where I can make some comment about how quickly you could be done with Hollywood Studios. If you had a magical fast pass for the number of attractions that you would actually be doing. But you know what? You could say the same thing of any of the parks if you didn't have to wait in any lines.
Right.
And but it but would I guess, open up more time to do that, it sounds like.
Right. And I guess just the Citizens of Hollywood is something that you could miss. I mean, like, you could go to Hollywood Studios every day and never see them. If you were at the wrong place at the wrong time, you'd miss them. And there's something about that group and that kind of street performance that I love.
Yeah, so I don't think I've ever... So I've seen the Citizens of Hollywood. As a matter of fact, I will even say this trip, I saw one of them as I'm walking down the street headed towards Tower and Rock and Roller. You know, one of the Citizens of Hollywood, she's like just strutting. Like strutting, not walking, strutting down the street, you know, talking to guests as she's walking down. And she stops at one of the benches, okay? And there's this little kid. He's playing on his, looked like a Nintendo 3DS. And his mom and, I'm going to assume mom and grandma are sitting there. And she's just sitting there. She's standing there. She's looking at it, you know? And he is so intent on this game, he is completely unaware that she is there. Mom sees, you know, kind of looks up and kind of backs away real quick. And then... is kind of smiling, and grandma does the same thing. And, you know, kid's still sitting here playing his game. And finally, I guess maybe his neck hair started to tingle or something, because he finally like, turns around. And at the moment that he makes eye contact with her, she jumps back and screams, which then, of course, makes the kid jump back and scream, which was just hilarious. It was hilarious for everybody involved. So... yeah, you know, and I've only done Streetmosphere or Citizens of Hollywood stuff at Disney Hollywood Studios once, and it was like these three guys who I think worked for the water company or something like that. And you're absolutely right. I mean, it was totally hilarious. And you wait, if you'll give them like 2 minutes, you'll get totally sucked in.
You're in, yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna be there for the whole show. That was so I am totally on board with that. I'm also totally on board with a, you know, this fast pass thing that you're now telling me about. Magical fast pass is all mine. But you know what? Even without that, I am totally on board with your Citizens of Hollywood.
Yeah, it was amazing. I love it. That's number one for me. What's your number two?
Okay, so I think I'm going to go with, since you just brought up, you know, this totally different side to Disney's Hollywood Studios, I will bring up a totally different side to Epcot, because I think even with the Osborne lights, you know, I don't know. Gosh, with the Osborne lights, I'd be hard pressed to say it. But Epcot was among the best experiences that we had on this trip. And it had nothing to do with the attractions. It had everything to do with, you know, taking the time to just walk around World Showcase.
Mm.
Because we go to Epcot, we had lunch reservations at Le Cellier. So we head over to Le Cellier, we're eating lunch, and then after lunch, we step out, you know, we're walking through. So if you've ever been to Le Cellier, you walk through the Canada Pavilion, you walk through like these gardens or whatever. And, you know, we're walking back through the gardens. My wife and I stop, Nancy, and we take some pictures. And then, you know, we walk out. And then, you know, we go over to the UK, and of course my sister has to go shopping for, I think Doctor Who stuff or something at one of the stores. And so since my family was going to go do all the shopping, we were just looking for something to do. So, you know, we walked back into the pavilion, back to the little garden area where British Invasion plays. And, you know, we walked around there for a little bit, sat around, talked. Then we walked over to the water side, you know, sat around and talked in that little area. And she's like, you know, it's just so nice, because I didn't really realize what this World Showcase had, because every time that we've been through here, it's always been on the way to something. And so we always just go blow through everything. And so after she said that, I totally made it my focus to like, really walk her. Cause I mean, I've done the World Showcase before. I've walked through the pavilions, and she never had, but I mean, even as somebody who's done it before, we walk through them again. And you know, it's like, walking through, you know, the pavilion in France. And as you get back there, just kind of feeling like that is where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then to me, I really think probably to me, hands down, the best pavilion, Morocco.
Really?
Yes.
That's a super like underrated, underappreciated pavilion.
But for just the sense of being able to get lost and get away from Epcot.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It is because there are so many, like, there's so much like little back area. There's this place called the Fez House where you can like walk in and there's a little fountain in there. It's all like open. It's got an open air top. It's just is awesome. There's actually a museum, a little bitty like two room, little art display museum, in Morocco. I totally didn't even know it was there. We're just walking through. We see these doors that say, you know, art museum or something. And my sister goes, oh. So she goes, grabs the door, and surprise, surprise, the door actually opens. And there's actually stuff in there. So, you know, no cast members in there or anything. There's just some seats and, you know, little glass displays explaining about, you know, different jewelry and things like that. And it was just so nice to take in everything there. And again, kind of like you said, you know, with the citizens of Hollywood, there's always this urge to get to the next attraction, to do the next thing so we can check it off of our list.
Mm-hmm.
But when we stopped and we got away from that and just took in what the World Showcase, you know, just taking in the atmosphere of the World Showcase, it just made it such a fun trip.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny that you say that, because Claire and I spent a whole day at Hollywood Studios, and never once did we feel like we were wanting for something to do. And that's not a full day park. If you were doing Hollywood Studios the way that most people do the parks at Disney World, it's not a whole day park. But we went in saying, you know what, we're only at Disney World for 2 days. We're not going to be able to do everything. So we might as well just take it slow and see what there is to see and do the park, you know? And so we did take it slow, and we got to experience Citizens of Hollywood, and we got to do all that stuff the way that you and your wife got to experience Epcot in a way that she had never done it before. And it's so, you know, it's funny because we've been to Hollywood Studios twice before this, and we've rushed through it and done all that, and we've been to Epcot a bunch of times, but I've never gone into all the pavilions. Yeah, I've seen them all from the street, but I've only gone into the ones that I got dining reservations at.
Right. Yeah. You go in if you've got to eat. Japan also has a really nice little, actually they're doing a, like little, again, kind of museum-y type display on, what, kawaii culture, you know, the cute culture of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, they've got that. And of course, I always love in Japan, they've got that huge department store type set up in there. And, you know, when you walk through the countries and there's actually items from that country and everything. But again, it's just something that it's so easy to miss. Because like you said, with Hollywood Studios, you get so focused on, I have to mark these things off my list. And often with Hollywood Studios, especially right now, I feel like it's not only I've got to mark this off my list, but either A, I only have a half day because I went to Animal Kingdom, or B, I only have a half day because I'm going to Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, no, it's really a really solid piece of advice to say, take it slow. Do yourself a favor. Realize that for the most part, all of this stuff will be there the next time that you go. And just take it slow. Enjoy it. Appreciate it. Because there's a lot there.
Right. And you know what? I think the other thing to say is, because I know for not... You know, I'm just extremely blessed that I get to go to Disney parks on a pretty regular basis. Not everybody gets to do that. You know, some people are only going to get to do that every 5 years or every 10 years or whatever it may be. You know, maybe you only get to go once. But I would argue that even if you can't make the argument that that will be there next time, that sometimes those memories, because you know what? I don't remember riding Mission Space this trip. I know I did. I know the basic gist of Mission Space, and that's probably somewhat because I've ridden it before. But I think, to me, I would rather have the memory of walking through Morocco than Mission Space, you know? And that's as someone who loves Mission Space. I know a lot of people are down on Mission Space. I've got to ride Mission Space.
And there's so much more to be gain from seeing Morocco. You know, Mission Space is a 5-minute experience, and it's really fun. I love Mission Space also, Orange Team Forever. But Morocco has a lot more, and the World Showcase in general just has a lot more to offer than Mission Space or Soarin' or Test Track.
But But again, that's only going to happen if you're willing to take the hit that, you know, maybe I don't get to do every attraction here or something. Even though, I mean, let's be honest, with FastPass Plus, you're still going to get most of the attractions out of the way, because you're going to have your three fast passes, you know, and our three fast passes, we were able to knock out Soarin', Mission Space, and Spaceship Earth. So, I mean, at that point, the only thing that we had left was Test Track, and we didn't ride Test Track this trip.
Yeah, can't blame you.
We could have done that, or we could have walked through the World Showcase, and that was a worthy trade to me any day of the week.
Yeah, good call.
So that's my topic number two. What's your topic number two?
So Claire and I, on Sunday before we left, we were in the Magic Kingdom. We had lunch at Casey Jr. And
how is Casey Jr.?
It's pretty good. Claire got the chili cheese hot dog, and I got the not a brat, but it's a German sausage, and they've got like stone ground mustard and onions on it. It's really good. Well worth, you know, and it's got they all come with quick service French fries. So if you like the quick service French fries, the French fries are going to be the bomb.
And if you don't like quick service French fries, well, you're kind of out of luck, because you're at Disney and they all taste like quick service French fries.
Right. But it's really good. Down home ballpark food. So we're eating lunch at Casey Jr. and it's raining. And so the announcement, we were waiting basically to see Festival of Fantasy on our way out of the park. And it's 3 o'clock and the announcement comes on and says Festival of Fantasy is delayed. And then 5 minutes later, delayed. And then 5 minutes after that, delayed. And we're about to have to leave. And the announcement comes on and says it's canceled. And we were like, oh no, you know, like we love Festival of Fantasy. And the announcement after it said it was canceled, it said, but stick around, because you're about to experience Disney's Rainy Day Cavalcade. And I had never heard of the Rainy Day Cavalcade.
I have still never heard of the Rainy Day Cavalcade.
So I had no idea what to expect. And basically what it is a bunch of people in Paddington Bear style raincoats. There's music. They've got really, really, really like this very, very sweet, fun song about rain. And they've got people in raincoats dancing around. All the princesses, or most of the princesses, in the horseless carriages.
Uh-huh.
You know, the green Main Street vehicles.
Yes.
And, you know, Chip and Dale were running around, and there's a bunch of non-face characters running around outside the carriages. But they do this parade, the Rainy Day Cavalcade, and they do a little, it's a very short parade. I think it was 10 minutes long. But they do this really short parade when it rains, so that you don't have to be disappointed, and you get a show, even though the main show is canceled.
Yeah, you don't have to be as disappointed. But I'm going to say that. Because you still... Okay, because like you've seen Festival of Fantasy before. I haven't. If I didn't get to see Maleficent's right. Dragon this time, I would have been a little bit disappointed. But I do agree that would somewhat lessen it, I think.
And as someone who was not expecting that, I was expecting it to say, it's canceled. Sorry. It was so delightful. And so just like so Disney, so very Disney for them to be like, but we totally have a show for you anyway.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing is, you know, I think that, you know, some disappointment is to be expected when you get rained out. But again, the option was to get rained out and nothing happens, or rained out. And here's a fun little bit of magic that we come up with for you. And now you can say you've seen the Rainy Day Cavalcade. And now I'll have to try to plan my trips around monsoon season so I can also get to see the Rainy Day Cavalcade if that's something that I would like to do, I guess.
And yeah, I'm not saying at all that Rainy Day Cavalcade is comparable to Festival of Fantasy, because it's not.
Rainy Day Cavalcade comparable to Festival of Fantasy. You heard it on Missing the Mouse.
But it is really good. It's really fun.
Okay, so you got rained out of that.
Yes.
You got rained out
and
of...
And we missed our DME bus back to the airport, so that was fun.
Oh, wow.
Having to beg the next bus driver to let us on so that we could get to the airport.
So you stuck around for the parade, but then you gave up on the parade, kind of, and yet you still managed to miss your DME bus.
Yeah. So we were on the 415, and we literally pulled up to our resort at like 418 as that DME bus was pulling out of the thing. The 445 bus driver, we were like, can we get on, please? We missed our bus. And he was like, I've got to make sure all the 445 people get on. And we're like, okay. And so we just like stood there right next to the door, like watching all these other people getting on, kind of fidgeting around like, ugh. And finally he was like, okay, you can get on. And so we made it. And then we got there and our flight was delayed and the gate was changed. And it was a whole big to-do. But anyway, we made it home. But it was the only time that trip where I was just like, oh, gosh, you know, like, I don't know if we're going to make it. And we were like trying to figure out how we could get an Uber to the airport. And it was way more stressful than it needed to be. But it was just like, I felt so stupid for being 3 minutes late to our bus.
So pro tip, missing the mouse suggests that you make your first DME bus because you may or may not get on another DME bus.
Because, and I will say, Disney Magical Express, while it is a Disney IP type thing, is run by Mears Bus Line.
It is.
And they've got, you know, different, less magical rules than Disney does.
Yeah, Disney would probably have less magical rules there too.
Yeah, but I was in the wrong, man. I'm not trying to say
we were totally late. there is no rainy day brigade style catch up for missing your bus. So miss a parade, that's okay. Miss a bus, not so much.